Hello, this is Byron Richards, and you are tuned in to my weekly wellness update podcast, bringing you the health news with my views attached so that you can be helped and assisted to understand some of the very exciting findings that go on these days in the world of health and nutrition. First article of the week, low adiponectin starts cardiovascular disease in motion. This is actually a very significant finding. Adiponectin is a hormone like leptin that comes out of your fat. It works in harmony with leptin so that blood sugar is correctly metabolized by your liver. Adiponectin is the key signal to your liver that enables insulin to work properly in your liver. Thus, when adiponectin levels go low, insulin resistance sets in, weight gain, metabolic syndrome, etc., etc. So it's very much fundamental. Now, adiponectin levels, when leptin is behaving properly and you are following the five rules of the leptin diet most of your life, it comes and stays in a proper level. But when leptin levels rise, meaning that you end up with leptin resistance because you're eating too much and snacking between meals and gaining weight or struggling to lose weight, then adiponectin levels fall. And that's in turn what causes insulin resistance. Well, in this new study, what the researchers found was that the fall of adiponectin changes your cardiovascular system. It's not just about insulin resistance. It makes your arteries and capillaries thicker. It starts the thickening process in motion. Adiponectin levels stay normal. Elasticity in the arteries is good. Adiponectin levels go low. And problems start to happen. So this adiponectin story is far from over. It is an exciting story because it tells you things you can do specifically to prevent adverse changes, not only in blood sugar regulation, but in the health of your circulatory system. Numerous nutrients already have been shown to help adiponectin levels. They include DHA, magnesium, pantothene, resveratrol, grapeseed extract, and mangosteen. So that list is probably, most likely, far from complete, but those are nutrients that currently have studies that show and demonstrate that they help raise adiponectin levels, which is, of course, good news. All right, the next study of the week, gut problems associated with fatty liver. And this is very interesting because normally I think of this as the other way around. I think of fatty liver being generated and then the liver, which has a blood supply to the gut, causing problems to the gut. In fact, for years we've called the condition of hemorrhoids, we call that dirty blood, essentially, because you know this blood supply that carries the nutrients from your gut that when you eat to your liver, that's a separate blood supply than the rest of your body. And if it gets fouled up, then it, the liver gets overtaxed with too much toxins or whatever, it can, cause problems. And the digestive tract, hemorrhoids being one of the key ones. So I always think of that, in part anyway, as a liver-related blood issue that somebody needs to work on. This study says that it's a chicken and egg. This goes both ways. When there are problems with gut bacteria, then fatty liver is more likely to build up. And that is a fascinating finding because it shows for the first time, really, or one of the first times, that the imbalance of bacteria, i.e. the leaky gut, the stuff can leak, the toxins can leak back into the circulation, go straight to the liver, and cause fatty liver buildup. So normally, as I say, we think of this fatty liver buildup coming from something like alcoholism or from just overeating, where the extra fat marbleizes the liver. But here it's the gut signals that can marbleize the liver. A good reason to keep your gut in a good condition, especially if you're trying to lose weight. You want to work on reducing digestive symptoms through whatever strategy. Could be acidophilus, could be candida helper, monolaurin, different products of that sort if needed. But the point being, have a gut without symptoms and do the best you can to manage that, and that's going to take stress off your liver. Your liver is the metabolic factory of your body, and you want it in good, tip-top working shape if you're going to be healthy. In a related story here, we have overweight people need extra antioxidants for exercise. This is actually a very important study because it shows that, well, yeah, it's great for somebody who's trying to lose weight to get out and exercise, but their systems are less efficient because they are essentially got into the situation of being overweight. So in that less efficient system, more free radicals are produced when the individual tries to exercise. Well, that, of course, could be counterproductive because the person might not feel good exercising, might feel not have very good exercise capacity, and even if they seemingly can exercise, they are more likely to make free radicals in the process of exercise because of the inherent inefficiency associated with the extra pounds of fat. So that is an issue, and you know, and it's really one where the oxygen isn't being used properly in their cells, and they need more of a defense system. This, of course, is why I love coenzyme Q10, antioxidants in general, daily protector, cardio helper, any of these things. But I mean, there's a lot of antioxidants. But you know, the whole thing about this is okay, if you're overweight, you're exercising, you're trying to get fit, take some extra antioxidants, even if it's just some basic vitamin C and vitamin E. You know, don't leave home without them. A bunch of different articles here on tocotrienols, which I find rather fascinating. First one up, tocotrienol E stops kidney damage from diabetes. Fascinating study here because we all know, maybe we all know, but one of the side effects of diabetes is, of course, kidney damage. People don't die of diabetes. They have heart attacks. They go blind and their kidneys fail. And the reason, of course, for these problems from the issue is that the sugar caramelizes structures. It injures them. It's like pouring maple syrup on the counter, letting it harden for 3 days. Well, that's what happens to your kidneys. That's what happens to your heart. That's what happens to your eyes over time if you don't manage the sugar levels. Sugar is fuel, but we don't go to the gas station, fill up our car, and then spray gas all over the street because it's not good for you. Not good for, you know, what if somebody lights it? Point is, we eat too much fuel in the form of sugar or end up converting into too much sugar from all the extra food we eat. And it's just as dangerous as gas spilling on the sidewalk. It is highly inflammatory, likely to ignite. That's kind of a bad analogy, I guess. Anyway, the point is, it hardens things. It gives you advanced age-related glycation end products, which means sugar-coated cement, and it's not good for your health. And so your kidney is a screen. It's like a screen on your window. That is a good analogy. It takes your blood apart, puts it back together again. It filters it. So if you pour maple syrup all over that screen and let it harden, guess what? It doesn't work very well. Your blood pressure goes up. You get injury. Well, in this study, it was found that tocotrienols could help reduce the inflammatory response in the kidney, the key signal being NF-kappa-B, fundamental to inflammation. That's a gene signal. And that has to go on excessively before anything else inflammatory happens. So you've maybe read about prostaglandins and that kind of thing over the years, E1 and E3 and those are all important inflammatory markers, but they're not gene signals. They're molecular pathways. Anyway, point being, tocotrienols can very definitely help reduce the inflammation in the kidneys for anyone with diabetes. Then we had another study. Tocotrienols stop new fat cells from forming. This one, of course, always interests me, the subject of leptin and body weight is something that I talk a lot about. And here we find that both alpha and gamma tocotrienol, both of them work. Gamma's maybe a little higher workability than alpha, but both do work. These things, we know, first of all, being fat soluble, have an ability to accumulate in your white adipose tissue. Once there, I mean, people, I don't know what people think sometimes about their stored fat. I mean, do they just think it's just sitting there like a blob doing nothing? Well, I think that's the opinion a lot of us get some of the time. But the point is that your stored fat is a metabolic organ. It is highly active. It is constantly storing and releasing fat, even if you're not losing any weight. And the point about it is, like, okay, well, how is it doing this? What kind of a condition is it doing it, and how is that happening? And what happened here is in the study, they were able to test the exposure of fat cells to tocotrienols and found that the tocotrienol significantly changed the way insulin was communicating with the fat cells so that baby fat cells did not turn into big fat cells that store extra fat. That is a major finding. In other words, it's actually sugar that makes you fat for the primary calorie in excess. And when you have sugar coming into unfit fat, it activates insulin in a way that promotes fat storage, which is the normal function of insulin. However, when the situation's out of control, then, of course, you end up overweight. And here we find that the tocotrienol E is one way to help prevent your fat cells from expanding. This is, by the way, a very large problem. If only our muscles and our brain cells could do what our fat cells do, we'd be, like, fit forever and never lose our intelligence. I mean, fat cells multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And then, of course, when you get too many of these extra fat cells, meaning you've spent too much time being overweight over the last number of years, then, of course, they sort of shrink down, but then they can re-expand at a moment's notice. And then you can even make more new ones. So having a tool to help with that, which the tocotrienols are, is, it's good, of course. You know, you don't want to overeat, and it won't matter what vitamin you take. If you put too much food in, your fat cells are going to blow up. But, hey, you know, when you're struggling with weight or if you're working on this, having the extra E isn't a bad idea in the form of the tocotrienols. And then I was fascinated. I started, you know, there was a couple of recent postings in the literature on gamma tocotrienol and cancer. And so I was looking into this, and I found out, wow, there were five or more, actually, but I just highlighted five of them here on gamma tocotrienol. So I did a posting, gamma tocotrienol in the war on cancer. Now, I always have to let people know, of course, when we're talking about a nutrient, nutrients don't cure, prevent, treat cancer. Because, you know, someone could take this information out of context, as far as I'm concerned, and then think this is going to be their treatment. All I'm saying about a nutrient is it's got interesting studies, and if you want to incorporate that into your diet as part of something that you think is healthy, certainly I do, then here's some science that helps support the notion that it's beneficial in this arena. There were a number of studies. I posted them all on the website at wellnessresources.com, where you can go look at the specific studies if you so choose. These are actually all cell studies, so again, they don't have the same weight as if humans, but they're all human cell studies. What's interesting about cell studies is that they show you molecular pathways, and they show you what the power of something is. Gamma tocotrienol attaches itself to the inside of the cell membrane within cells. It has what's called an isoprenoid side chain, which is a powerful communication molecule. Nature has a phenomenal ability to understand the difference between a healthy cell and a cancer cell and to knock out a cancer cell. There are other compounds besides gamma tocotrienol that have this wisdom. Green tea, for example, resveratrol. There's a number of them. But gamma tocotrienol has an accumulating body of science and has for many, many years. There have been a lot of cell studies in the past on breast cancer, and there's a new one that predicts intake at the level commonly in dietary supplements, which is important because sometimes these cell studies are just, you know, pharmacologic doses pouring it on something, and what does that show, you know, because you never get that kind of a dose consuming the supplement. But the, you know, here's one study here on breast cancer that showed that gamma tocotrienol reduced the spreading of breast cancer cells by 58%. And this is important, too, because we're not just talking. One of the things that's emerging here in this gamma-tocotrienol research is that it's not just the ability of gamma-tocotrienol to induce a death signal in cancer cells, but it, through different molecular pathways, it's actually inducing a spreading inhibition signal. Different signal, same substance. So not only is it able to help the cells knock out the cancer cells, it's able to help communicate to the cancer cells in such a way that they cannot spread anywhere near as efficiently as they do, which, of course, helps reduce the idea of metastasis. So we had a breast cancer study. We had prostate cancer showing that, again, the gamma-tocotrienol could kill prostate cancer cells by reducing the inflammatory gene signal NF-kappa-B that, and then related NF-kappa-B. When it's knocking out a cancer cell, if it's reduced, there are a number of other gene signals that play off of this that then induce the death signal. That's how it works. So it's not just about reducing inflammation. It's just that that NF-kappa-B is core to inflammation, but also core when it's overheated to a lot of signals that the cancer process uses. So knocking down NF-kappa-B in turn is at the source of knocking down signals that perpetuate the ability of a cancer cell to sustain itself. Other studies showed this to be the case with stomach cancer and colon cancer. I mean, the researchers are getting super excited about this. Quoting here from one of them, these findings suggest a potential mechanism of gamma-tocotrienol-mediated anti-tumor metastasis activity and indicate the role of vitamin E as potential chemo-preventative agents against gastric cancer. Malignant melanoma, one of the nastiest potentially nastiest forms of cancer, gamma-tocotrienol, again, killing melanoma cells and also significantly changing its invasiveness. So we see here a significant body of relevant new science popping up, adding to the history of the science relating to gamma-tocotrienol as a tool, something that can be done along with other things if you have a problem, but certainly in the preventive arena, I just think it's common sense these days to have stuff like this in your regime. Grapeseed extract restores insulin sensitivity. A powerful new study shows that grapeseed extract turns back on gene signals that help insulin receptors work properly. Well, I mentioned earlier that grapeseed extract was on the list of substances like resveratrol that boost up the adiponectin levels. Here we see that grapeseed extract, and this follows along with a similar study on resveratrol, which is why I'm mentioning the two of them, which just so happened to be in our spectacular Cardio Helper product. But in this case, it was found that the grapeseed extract turns back on gene signals that help insulin receptors work. Getting insulin receptors to work is critically important. Getting hormone receptors to work is critically important. A lot of people go overboard on the notion of restoring and replacing hormones. We'll talk more about that in the coming days or weeks. But here's the point. If you get the receptors to work better for any hormone, then that hormone can work more efficiently in your body. And that is what health is all about. So insulin resistance obviously means there's too much insulin not doing anything. The problem is fueled and driven by leptin resistance, but we still have an issue of the receptors. And the receptors for a hormone can be activated with grape seed extract. That's the take-home message of this study. And that, of course, is another tool, another angle on how to help stay healthy in this constant battle, at least for many of us, the constant war on weight and blood sugar and metabolism. It's just unfortunate, but the older we get, the more inefficient this system works. So anytime we can restore efficiency to it, it's a good thing. Of course, eating properly and exercise are your fundamentals. They always will be. And plugging in common sense nutrients that help multiple things, and grapeseed extract would certainly fall into that category, along with things like the tocotrienols. These things are just so good for so many aspects of health. How can you go wrong? All right, on to the questions for the week. First one comes from Maggie. My mother is 76 years old, and she's having problems with her back. Specifically, she has some fractures in her vertebrae. They said it is osteoporosis, but she has never been diagnosed with that. She has her yearly test done and has never been given that diagnosis. Should I get the FemBalance cream that has progesterone and estriol to help with bone support? Any recommendations would be greatly appreciated. Maggie, the FemBalance cream in somebody who's 76 is a wonderful product, and it can be applied just topically right over her vertebrae, and that can be extremely helpful. Younger women with similar issues may just want progesterone, the Profem cream, but you know these creams have, when they're transdermally absorbed, they go straight to essentially the area beneath where they are, and then into the general circulation. So there have been a lot of reports over the years of individuals with benefit. Of course, progesterone has a bone building. It stimulates the osteoblasts, and estriol has a very friendly effect on bone health in terms of anti-inflammatory benefit. And, of course, the reduction of inflammation. When you have somebody who's getting these vertebrae issues, I think the hyaluronic acid is spectacular. I think daily builder in higher doses is very good, up to 8 a day to give that. The hyaluronic acid helps form the matrix upon which the bone can mend, so it's very good. And a product like Bone Helper with the bone mending herbs in it, very, very helpful. So you could do a comprehensive approach here, Maggie, and get that stabilized for her. But to answer your question about the hormone cream, sure, they're a great option. Roxanne says, or asks, our 21-year-old daughter wants to know if the week before the period is equivalent to 8 hours of construction work a day, should she restrict her exercise program to adjust to the additional demand? That's a very good question, and the answer is maybe. It depends on the person. It depends on how well they do. But if they're having symptoms and problems, especially of tiredness or mood-related issues, indicating a lack of protein and ability to sustain that output, then absolutely yes, it would be better to do some walking or some more toning type or relaxing exercises as opposed to running 5 miles a day. Roxanne had another question. What do you think of DIM and its ability to help estrogen, to process estrogen versus the indole-3 carbinol? Does it need a special biodelivery system, as stated below? And what would be a safe and effective dose? How long would a woman take the supplement? It was recommended for heavy periods. DIM, which is diindolemethane, is a derivative of cruciferous vegetables. Main promoter of DIM has always argued that it's way better than indole-3 carbinol, and indole-3 carbinol has a very broad body of science showing that it is extremely effective. So I've never really bought into that. I just kind of find it humorous, as you know, the competition between ingredient suppliers is always interesting in the field of health. At any rate, I like both of the compounds myself. And you'll find them, for example, in a process called Preventer, or a product called Preventer Plus, where I'll use 150 milligrams of indole-3 carbinol and 50 milligrams of DIM per capsule. The standard dose around 200 milligrams of either one, so I kind of put them together. I just happen to like them both. But what they do is they change the way estrogen is metabolized so that it is less proliferative in nature. In other words, estrogen, when it's being cleared, can go down several different metabolic pathways. One of them happens to be more prone to problematic issues for women, whether it's breast cancer or ovarian cancer or cervical cancer. I mean, these consequences of estrogen going the wrong direction can be significant. And, of course, heavy periods are reflective of a estrogenic situation. So you can sort of help modulate that in part with the cruciferous vegetable extracts. Very powerful tool. I suggested in that situation. Sarah says, thank you so much for the article about how vaccines damage the major systems in the body. I believe my son suffered from the MMR vaccine he received at 1 year. I am deeply saddened that our government is not actively involved in defending the health of our children. It is a huge scandal, and the manufacturers are just as guilty. I would like to know if you can recommend any supplements for my son to take. He is 3 and a half, and I am trying to feed him raw organic foods as often as possible. Well, Sarah, I share your concerns over the government's covering up of vaccine-related injury. You will see that they will constantly try to churn out science, quote-unquote science, in defense of vaccines. It's kind of like how they treat statin drugs for cholesterol and the pharmaceutical industry. The reason the government doesn't care about the health of the children is because vaccinations are not for any one child's health. They are for treating a herd. And if any one child doesn't want to be part of that herd, it is considered a horrible thing from the government's point of view, because then how can you treat the herd if the herd members aren't being treated? And the other thing about this to understand is that the government's last bastion of Western medicine is vaccinations. When the vaccine paradigm goes down, and it will go down sooner or later, because it isn't an all-purpose fundamental truth. There are lots of issues with it. Certainly it has some ability to help in some circumstances, but it is way, 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 way overdone, as if there's no issue here. I mean, American children are the most vaccinated kids on planet Earth. I mean, come on. We don't, as Americans, have any longevity advantage over anyone else who's vaccinated less in any, you know, European country, etc. I mean, they play off the fear of disease, obviously, to get people to line up in a herd and take their shots. And it is, you know, a failing paradigm. It's not completely false, but it's not certainly as true as they like it to be. What can you do for your son? You've got to really watch his digestive tract as he grows older. I like supplements like the Super Mini Multi. I like Pick 50, which is grape seed extract. Very easy to give a three-year-old. You can just pull it apart and mix it in anything. Wonderful brain antioxidant. If there's any kind of digestive imbalance, GI Soother tends to work quite well. Those are some of the basics. But you just have to work with, especially, keeping him well. Because when these children who've been injured get sick, the toxicity of the infections that they get is hard on them and can really throw them for a loop. They end up with concurrent viral and candida problems. And sometimes then those symptoms become so annoying to the structure of their brains, they just can't get their brain on track. As he gets older and can swallow a lot of or more vitamins, I mean, things like DHA, phosphatidylserine, a lot of brain nutrients that can be very good, Sarah. And you just have to do what you can. The thing that where you have the advantage now at this age is that the brain is still trying to do things at a higher rate than it will be later. And so if you can clear the toxicity out of the system and especially get rid of toxicity from the digestive tract and be very on the job with fighting toxins from germs if he should get sick and boosting the immune system, these things are critically important to creating an environment that the brain can thrive in. Whereas a lot of times with these little children, they have these ongoing immune problems, digestive problems, and they're constantly being exposed to toxicity on top of the problem that they got, and so they never can quite get back on track. So a lot of times you can see a lot of improvement in these children doing this. I've been doing this for many, many, many years. Grapeseed extract, GI Soother, Immune Plus is another good one. Love those with kids. It's not necessarily that you need a lot of things. It's that the things that you use have to work, and you have to kind of evaluate where your child has weak spots. And then once you get rid of these toxicity-related weak spots, then you can also work on building up the brain more. All right, Karen says, in the past couple of years, I've been told to use progesterone cream on and off. If I am not getting tested, is it safe to use it on a continuous basis? I have not had a period for 6 months. When I did use it, I was told to use it for 3 weeks. Off 1 week. Does that still hold true if I'm getting no period? Progesterone cream topical over the counter is pretty safe, I would have to say, to use without any tests. I think tests for hormones are a joke anyway, for the most part, because they don't really reflect. I mean, they don't. First of all, on the subject of female hormones and bioidentical hormones, they do not test the concentration of hormones in your breast tissue, and that is a huge problem, especially if you're going to go on estrogen. Not so much estriol, but if you're going to take estradiol, which, of course, I don't recommend anyway. But as far as progesterone cream goes, there have been studies showing that up to 40 milligrams a day, relatively endlessly, never raises blood levels of hormones to any kind of a point that would be problematic. The point being here, though, Karen, yes, you can take it every day, but the point is it helping you? Is it doing something for you? And with any kind of hormone cream, well, what's the lowest dose you can take and feel fine on? And always support your adrenal glands along with it. Don't just rely on the cream. Barbara says, I have noticed itchy, round, bumpy, dry patches on my lower calves. What could they be, and what would you advise for that? Well, when you have these itchy things showing up in the extremities, such as the calves, it generally means your body's trying to get rid of something in an alternative pathway. Because it's on the calves of your legs and the lymph system is moving up past your digestive tract, it would generally imply, Barbara, that there's some kind of a digestive irritation where your gut is making too much toxicity and your body can't handle it all. And so it's looking for ways to get rid of it, which is out skin, which is a backup system. It's a normal backup system. Almost all skin problems come from gut problems, but not always, but mostly. So, but in this case, you've got, when you have it on the lower legs, it's almost always a gut problem because it, your lymph system has to come pump the waste back up past the gut's lymphatics, and that's why it happens. So working on your digestive tract, very good idea. And then specifically for the skin, you can improve the circulation to and through and out the skin. CardioHelper would be the best product for that. And also you can, if you have dry skin in general or this dryness is really bugging you, you can add some squalene, which is an oil that will help repair the dryness in the skin. But the patches, the little bumpy things, won't go away until you get the toxicity problem cleared up. Sharon, can you explain why you don't like phytoestrogens? I am taking flaxseed oil, and it has improved my energy. Is there another supplement that would boost my energy in the same way? Flaxseed oil has some estrogen-quenching ability and is considered sort of in the phytoestrogen family, but it's actually very good at getting rid of surplus estrogen. I don't like flaxseed in general for a lot of people because those with candida infections in their gut will cook flaxseed and make highly inflammatory compounds out of it, which will cause them joint aches, joint pains. And I've seen this in many people who've taken flax, not everyone. So my caution on flaxseed would be pay attention. Is it problematic to you? If you just feel better energy from it, you don't have any upset digestion or any increase in aches and pains, then it's not an issue that I'm talking about. So it's not a problem. And if you like it, I've got no problem with it. I mean, flaxseed oil is a basic omega-3. It's not the most efficient omega-3, but it's a basic omega-3. It has to be elongated into DHA. So I typically recommend just taking DHA. It's a lot more efficient, easier on your body. But hey, if you benefit from flaxseed oil, you can tell it helps your energy. More power to you, Sharon. Just be careful that it doesn't induce aches and pains. And then your other question, why don't I like phytoestrogens? There's a lot of plant compounds with phytoestrogens. It's not that I don't like phytoestrogens. It's that in some situations, too much phytoestrogen concentration, such as soy or red clover or Don Quai or a black cohosh or blue cohosh or something of these sorts, some of these herbs can, instead of helping a woman relieve symptoms and improve her, make her much worse. Once again, pay attention. A lot of people, see, the problem is, what I actually don't like is that a lot of people will just, you know, listen to some promo on how something stops their hot flashes or stops their problems. They start taking it, they start getting worse, or maybe they feel better for a few days, then they start getting worse as the months go by, and they don't connect it because they think this thing is just so good for them. So, of course, I'm never in favor of soy unless you're of Asian descent, but there's a lot of estrogen modulating compounds out there. that some of them can be problematic when taken to correct the problems they're supposed to be taken for. So my main thing there is pay attention. All right, that's it for the questions this week. If you have a question and you would like to email your question or you'd like to be on my podcast with your question, just email it to me, askbyron@wellnessresources.com. Have a great week.
The Weekly Wellness Update Podcast is produced by Wellness Resources Incorporated, copyright 2008, all rights reserved. For more information on the topics and news covered in today's podcast, visit wellnessresources.com. To email Byron a specific health question, send it to askbyron@wellnessresources.com. The information presented in this podcast is for informational purposes. It is not medical advice for the treatment of any condition or illness. You should not use the information in this podcast for diagnosis or treatment of any health problem or to discontinue the use of any medication that has been prescribed to you. Consult your physician or healthcare professional for such needs. Statements made during this podcast regarding any Wellness Resources dietary supplement products have not been evaluated by the FDA. Wellness Resources dietary supplement products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.